Good morning, everyone. Greetings to you all again in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is my honor to be back with you all again this morning. And thank you so much to all of you and the church leaders and all the members. As you take your time to come together here, together in to worship and to praise God and to devote your heart in Him. And praise to be God. Praise to be our God, the creator of the universe, who sustains all things. He is the redeemer and always desire to have a close relationship with us. As of today's message, let us reflect our hearts and renew our mind with Hebrew chapter 8, verse 7 through 13. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 through 13. It reads, "For if the first covenant has been faultless, then no place will have been sought for a second. Because find a fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the new covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregard them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. This is the word of God. This passage is a powerful and uplifting message that speaks to us every day. It reminds us of God's love through his son Jesus Christ and how the first covenant was placed to a new covenant. In the Old Testament, Israelites were living under the old covenant, where salvations in a right relationship with God came through faith, expressed by obedience to His law and sacrificial system. However, due to human frailty, Israel were unable to fulfill the law, which led to disobedience. But that's not because of the law is imperfect or weak. On the contrary, God's law is righteous and holy, which makes it impossible for humans to fully obey. And think of it carefully. If we are under the old covenant, what challenges would we be facing? In every day, there are a lot of things that we have to deal with, whether our thoughts, behavior, or our daily decisions that we make. In the old covenant, God's law taught His people the gravity of sin, and it was sin that separated sinners from a holy God. And back then, the only way to be reconciled and find forgiveness was through the shedding of blood through animal sacrifice. The law provide a way for Israelites to come to Him through faith, obedience, and love. It point forward or foreshadow Christ's perfect sacrifice for the sins of humanity. When they disobey the law, it results in punishment. And if we look back, the Israelites end up in the wilderness for 40 years after God brought them out of Egypt and before they got to enter the promised land. This is due to their disobedience and lack of faith in God. Even in our daily life, in this physical world, if we don't follow the law that is established by the city, state, or government, there are consequences. For example, if we park in a restricted area, the results could be fines, your vehicle be ticketed, or being towed. I experienced this myself, where my car was being towed because I parked in a restricted spot without carefully reading the sign. I have to pay the ticket to retrieve my car. However, God's law goes far beyond this because it is spiritual, encompassing moral, ceremonial, and civil laws. In the Old Testament, people could not fully keep these laws, and the author of Hebrews acknowledges these as stated in verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Yet, God's love for humanity remains unwavering and unconditional. He promised a new covenant, which was spoken through prophet Jeremiah to Israelites in Jeremiah 31:31-34. As we see here in Hebrew, chapter 8, verse 8 through 12. Because Phide fought with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, say, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. This is a new covenant God had promises to the Israelites. It will not be like the old covenant that the people broke. Second, it includes a personal relationship with God, with his laws written on people's hearts and minds. Third, it promises that all people will know God directly. And fourth, it offers complete forgiveness of sin, declaring that God will remember their sins no more. The author of Hebrews quoted from Jeremiah 33:31-34 highlights how this prophecy is fulfilled through Jesus Christ in the new covenant, which marked by inner transformations and direct personal relationship with him and with God. And this is about God's grace to all of us, that we cannot earn it on our own efforts and ability. Verse 13 concludes by stating that by calling it new, God has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. As believers, we are called to embrace the new covenant established through Jesus Christ, fulfilling God's promise to Israel, as foretold by Jeremiah. And how do we do so? To embrace the new covenant. First, we must accept the new covenant by understanding that in the phrase, if the first covenant has been faultless, meaning not due to the fault of the first covenant itself, but because of humanity inability to fulfill it. That's why Jesus Christ had to come, and he fulfilled every commandment and law, and he took away our lawlessness, inequity, and sins. for our day now. We need Jesus Christ. For he is the only one that can redeem our relationship with God. Therefore, we must open our hearts and minds to believe in him and the word. While we cannot fulfill spiritually, Christ completed it for us. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus, our Savior. And second, to embrace the new covenant, we must allow God to transform our hearts and minds, because only God can change us internally. We should not hold on to past wrongs or mistakes, but ask God to remove them. For in Christ, all things have passed away. All things have become new. In today's world, rely on religious practice without internal change can be limited. We should reflect on whether religious practices are empty routines or effort to deepen our relationship with God. For instance, when attending church, do we do so out of genuine devotions or just religious practice? Third, to embrace a new covenant, we need to internalize God's law, as verse 10 promises. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. A way that we can internalize God's truth is when we allow him to guide our thoughts and action. And these can be done also when we read the scripture and memorize in our hearts. But the thing is that scriptures can be difficult to understand because of its deep meanings. Therefore, we must seek God's help to comprehend his word, bind in our hearts, and apply in our lives. And fourth, to embrace a new covenant, we must strengthen our personal relationship with God. Verse 11 states, no longer will they tease their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. This calls us into a direct personal relationship with him, where intimacy is accessible to all. We can cultivate spending time in God's presence, seeking to deepen our knowledge of him, meditate on its words, and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal its truth, makes the message relevant, and living in our daily lives. And we must build a regular prayer life where we communicate openly with God. When we pray, it's not only about asking for things. It's also about deepening intimacy, expressing gratitude, and enlarge our heart with God's will. We need to sacrifice times each day to communicate with him. And faith, we must accept the word and live with forgiveness. As Hebrew chapter 8, verse 12 states, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more." We can begin by fully accepting and trusting in God's promise of forgiveness, reminding ourselves regularly that God's forgiveness is complete and unconditional, can bring great peace and freedoms in our lives. We must trust that when God forgives, He chooses not to remember our sins. Let this truth free us from guilt and shame, allowing us to move forward without being burdened by past mistakes. And we're called to live as a new creation each day, understanding that through forgiveness, we are made whole in Christ. This fresh perspective shapes how we see ourselves and interact with others, full of grace and purpose. When we forgive others, it not only reflects God's characters, but also brings us personal peace and encourage reconciliation in our communities. And finally, we must commit to a new way of living, since the old has become obsolete. In verse 13, living this new life involves cultivating a heart filled with compassion, serving others, and seeking growth in love and holiness. At the core, it means trusting Jesus Christ as the foundations of our lives. Our decisions and action should be led by faith, not all ritual or legalistic practice. And the best way to live in holiness and righteousness is to pursue a lifestyle that reflects God's holiness, empowered by the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and actions. Rely on our desire and thoughts make it difficult to truly live this new way. For the new covenant, what's most important to God is our heart, and we must keep Him at the center of every part of our lives. We need to go beyond mere rule following and cultivate a heart rooted in love, compassion, and mercy. Genuine sense of living under the new covenant. We should live in a way that reflects the light of Christ, whether at work or school or home, demonstrate integrity, kindness, and a willingness to serve others, showing what is me to live under the new covenant. By embracing this aspect of the new covenant, we invite God's transformative work to reshape our lives, turning us into vessels of His love, grace, and truth. These transformations benefits not only ourselves, but also stand as a testament of God's renewed power in the world. Let this covenant guide us as we pursue a life that radiates His presence and purpose. As we reflect on Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 through 13, and the gracious promise of the new covenant, let us welcome the transformative living it calls us to. The passage emphasizes that God, in His infinite love and wisdom, recognized the limitations of the old covenant and established a new and a better way through Christ. This new covenant is not about following law ready on stone tablet, but about experience an eternal transformation where God writes His laws on our minds and hearts. It calls us to an intimate relationship with Him, where obedience flows from love in our life reflect His character. We are invited to live as His people, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to embody His teaching and values in our daily lives. This means loving God wholeheartedly and loving our neighbors as ourselves. It involves a commitment to a community where we support and encourage one another in faith. As we move forward, let us remember that this transformation is not our work, but God's work within us. Embrace the new covenant. Let us embrace the new covenant with great gratitude and openness, allowing God's transformative power to guide us toward lives of purpose, compassion, and holiness. Amen.